you're caught up in the weeds and feeling overwhelmed or frustrated or defeated as an entrepreneur, know you're having those feelings, stop the process, write down three things you're grateful for, think of three things that you're looking forward to. Even if it's, you know, I'm thankful for a sunny day. I'm thankful that I made my bed earlier today. I'm thankful for my family. You really can dig really deep into gratitude. And the more consistent we are with the practice, the more powerful it is.
Welcome to Daring Dreams, Heart and Strategy in Small Business Marketing. Today, we're joined by the incredible Shanna Trefini, the heart and mind behind You Are a Gardener and Pull Your Weeds movement. With a passion for emotional empowerment, Shanna has worked with over 25,000 students and educators, helping them to cultivate resilience, positivity, and self-awareness. Through her book, her blogs, and school programs, she's on a mission to spread seeds of positive change. Get ready to be inspired as we dive in with Shanna.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Haley, for having me on your podcast. I've been looking forward to this. I appreciate the invitation.
I'm so excited to have you because I absolutely love what you're doing and I want to hear more about it. And I also feel that your story could be really inspiring and motivating for other businesses who are looking to start a purpose-driven business. So why don't we get started by you kind of sharing what it is your business does and who it helps?
Absolutely. So just to even take it one step further back, I always say necessity is the mother of invention. And You Are a Gardener was born out of finding a positive way to connect my children with emotional empowerment, help them grow through life's everyday challenges, as we call it, turning weeds into seeds. So when my kids were 5 and 7 years old, and they're now 13 and 15, I had been working with a colleague who compared stress and anxiety to watering your weeds. And at the time, my daughter, who was 7, had a lot of weeds. And it was a light bulb moment, and I just felt really inspired and made a connection in my mind about watering your weeds. So I sat my kids down that same night and I just said, do you guys know that you're gardeners and you are growing the most beautiful gardens inside of yourselves? And in our gardens are our flowers, which is our joyful feelings, happy thoughts, our gratitude. But all gardens have weeds. It's a natural fact. And the weeds in our garden are the things that make us feel sad or scared or mad, the uncomfortable emotions, the negative feelings. And I just said, as gardeners, we got to pull those weeds out of our gardens. And the best way we can do that is talking about it with trusted sources and use gardening tools, which we'll dig into later. But just at that moment, my kids, you know, opened up and said, this happened at school, that happened at school. And we started talking about small little things they encountered that day that wouldn't sound like a big deal overall. But as we talked about it, I could see their shoulders come down. I could see them just feeling a little more confident and empowered with the conversations. And that was a life-changing moment for me, because that same night I wrote a poem. It's called You Are a Gardener. And how that poem and the mindset of You Are a Gardener changed our lives in a very rapid way is what inspired me to get out there and self-publish my book, as well as at around the same time, I started working with my children's teachers and just developed a whole educational program rooted in You Are a Gardener's mindset and vocabulary. So over the last 7.5 years, it's grown into a book, the Pull Your Weeds blog, educational programs. I do workshops for families, for teachers. It just keeps on growing, and it's just a movement that we're trying to raise awareness of emotional empowerment and resilience.
Wow. I love that, because I also started my business because of my kids, for my kids. So my story was a little bit different in that for me, it was, I was always told that I could do and be anything I wanted to do or be. But I knew that my mom wasn't doing what she wanted to be doing. And so when my kids were, how old were they? 7 and 9, I think. I decided that actions speak louder than words, and that I needed to go and show them through my actions that you can be anything you want to be. And so they were kind of the inspiration behind Marketing on Purpose. And so I totally get, like, the kid thing. It like changes. I mean, it changed the trajectory of my career for sure. What were you doing before you started doing this?
So I'm still doing it now, but for the last 24 years, I'm the COO of a women's clothing boutique with two locations in New Jersey. So we have a team of over 20 women and lots of beautiful, fashionable, wonderful local clients. And I do everything from the hiring, the training, marketing, advertising, everything but the buying and the selling. That's what the owner does. That's what she's wonderful at. We just both have a very yin and yang relationship, which is why we've been together for so long. So when it came to You Are a Gardener and wanting to self-publish a book, I really took a lot of those marketing tools that I was using for my company and plugged it into You Are a Gardener with the newsletter, with the blog, social media, video content, branding. Branding's everything. And then that's just how it started to grow. So it's a very similar formula. I'd say we could be selling, you know, clothes, books, tires, you name it. It's just a very plug and play, it's plug and play when it comes to marketing and advertising. So I was very comfortable in that realm.
So tell me a little bit about your brand and how it evolved and anything you can about your brand strategy.
When You Are a Gardener started in 2017, as I said before, my kids were 5 and 7, and the branding has just evolved so much over the years as they've grown. My branding and marketing has grown as I've grown. So it started out as a children's book, children's platform. And since then, it has blossomed into, I call, a program and a mindset for gardeners of all ages. Because as I create content, as I travel to schools, I've been realizing with my kids, everything we did when they were 5 or 7 with communicating and talking openly about our emotions and feelings to using, we call, gardening tools, which are coping strategies, you know, positive ways to move forward and grow. All the gardening tools we were using when they were 5 and 7, we're still using today. Vision boards, journaling, deep breathing, gratitude exercises. So the marketing and the branding has really evolved where it was started out very youthful, very energetic, young branding. It's really evolved into, it still looks a lot like a children's program with our fox and cartoon, but I try and have it visually branded to attract, you know, any age group really. So the marketing has definitely evolved and it just keeps growing. As we get older, it grows with us. So
how do you get people to, like you said, you're doing a lot of workshops at schools. How did that come about?
Again, that's necessity is the mother of invention. It really started with my own children and working with their teachers and coming into the classrooms and doing little workshops for their particular classrooms. And then it would kind of branch out to my coworkers. Oh, can you come into my child's preschool? My children are Montessori graduates, so I would work with some Montessori schools. And it just kind of naturally started to evolve. Everything about You Are a Gardener has been a very organic, natural process. Like I said before, I still have a whole other career. And there's just something about what I do that I don't want it to feel forced. I want it to be helpful, hopeful, and rooted, coming from a really good, positive place. So it really started out with word of mouth, but over the years, as the marketing's gotten more dialed in, you know, adding new people to our newsletter every week, people are joining our newsletter. Social media is a very powerful tool, YouTube, video content. There's so many powerful tools out there right now that I just feel like are getting sharper and sharper.
So are you doing all the marketing for this yourself?
Yes.
And also for the other business? Are you doing the marketing for the other business?
For the other business, I have a team.
So what would you say is the best use of your time from a marketing perspective for this, for You Are a Gardener?
I have to say, I absolutely love Canva. I don't know if you use Canva. I think it's one of the most valuable marketing tools out there. I use it for design. I use it for writing my content. I use the AI to help edit my content. I love their branding kit in Canva. And once you get your fonts and your colors and your themes, I think it's one of the best marketing tools I've ever encountered in my 2+ decades of marketing. So,
yeah, I remember it was probably, like 11 years ago, I started using Canva. When I was with another company, and I was like, I don't have to ask a graphic designer to do this. Like, I can literally, I remember the first thing I did was like an infographic, because those were big at the time. And I was like, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I couldn't stop playing with it.
It's so empowering when you can have an idea and you see it in your mind, and then you get on a program like Canva and you can create it yourself. If you just tap into this confidence, and that really ties into a lot of you are Gardner. I'm always saying, look for things that make you feel confident or creative, or things that make you feel calm. So Canva actually is a gardening tool for me. I mean, I think it's one of my most powerful tools that keep me centered, because you're being mindful when you're creating content. You feel confident when you're creating content. It's so therapeutic. So it really is a huge part of just my overall mental wellness.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. So you're a little bit of like a Canva artist then.
I don't know if I could give lessons on it, because it's so specific to what I do, but there is so much you can do and explore. And it's always on my to-do list. I have to-do list everywhere. And I'm always like, oh, watch some tutorials in Canva this week.
Yeah, I have the to-do list too. So you mentioned kind of what sparked the idea for the Gardner. For You Are a Gardner, what keeps you going? Because you sound like you're a pretty busy person.
So I have felt my whole life, a calling, I guess, if you will, of a need to connect with people on a bigger scale to help. And for a long time, I didn't know what that help was. But as You Are a Gardner grows, I'm starting to appreciate and understand that how I can help is spread seeds of positive change by helping children, helping teachers, helping family with very positive content that is completely rooted in empowering gardeners of all ages to feel confident, to tap into your creativity, to look for ways to calm yourself. And the beautiful thing about You Are a Gardener is it is gardening vocabulary. It's very easily relatable. And people of all ages very much appreciate it and connect with it. So I feel very passionate about getting out there and doing my part and, you know, eventually growing a team of gardeners and ideally having a gardener space where we can all come together, create content, have workshops, and really open our doors to help more people and raise our voice and awareness to how important our mental well-being is right now. Being emotionally resilient and empowered is very needed right now.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. What would you say is, like, if you think back over the years that you've been doing this, what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've personally learned through? Because I always say that being an entrepreneur is actually a whole lesson in, like, resilience, mental wellness, self-improvement. It's basically the personal development that, you know, for me, it's been a personal development journey. So what about for you?
You said it early on in our conversation when you were talking about how you created your company and you said action. Action is very important. So small acts lead to big acts. And I think when you feel really passionate and connected to something or an idea, is acting on it in the ways that you feel comfortable with, that you can keep acting, even if it's making a checklist or a journal with ideas, or playing around in Canva, whatever it is, doing research, is taking that action and continuing acting and just keep growing. I mean, there have been years where I will have conversation with friends and just say, what, you know, where is this growing? But it's also in tying into that is patience and knowing that things unfold and happen when they're meant to happen, and being patient with the process and not putting too much pressure on yourself, because you have to keep that joy centered and the passion and the integrity of it very much at the root of it all. And when you start to feel overwhelmed or you start to feel frustrated, those are the weeds, and you need to kind of take a step back and really communicate with some people, talk to some mentors. There's some incredible mentor programs out there. I've been working with a mentor with a wonderful company called Score, and it's all been free. It's for women entrepreneurs, and they connect you with a mentor. And I've been working with him for 7 years. So just, there's just so many people out there and so many tools for entrepreneurs right now to feel supported and not alone. So I would say action and patience are, I think, are two of my biggest values that I've really taken with me to kind of keep me centered.
It's funny because you're the second podcast interview I did this week where they talked about patience. And I say, like, I am not patient. Like, I just want to do it. And I, like, that's why I do so many actions, because I want to, like, I wanted things to go fast. So I think this is a lesson for me. Like, it's a recurring theme that's happening. So patience. So what would you say is the biggest hiccup, like a challenge that you might have faced that you weren't expecting to face through this process?
Not having a team. So for You Are a Gardener, it's really myself and my incredibly talented illustrator. She's also my videographer, my editor. She'll help me with a lot of stuff, but she lives in Ohio and she has a whole other career. So a lot of it has been doing it all yourself. Sometimes that does feel overwhelming. And even though you remind yourself to be patient, I do know the difference of having a team and doing things independently. So I'd like to think that right now I'm working in a process where I'm starting to see the talent that I would need to help me grow. So I now can see an agent of some sort to help me book assemblies and book signings, where I would love to connect with a video editor and make some, you know, consistent video content. It's all the things you want to do. And when you're only one person, you can't do it all. So you have to prioritize, not multitask, just constant. Those lists, I'm just constantly shuffling the priority.
I'm in the same boat. And I think a lot of the listeners of this show are, like, they're solopreneurs or very micro businesses. And so a lot of us are doing our own marketing. So we can relate to that, that struggle.
Social media is tough too, because I think that we have a very successful social media strategy for the company I'm with, for the boutique and for You Are a Gardener. Sometimes it's hard to post consistently. And even though with the scheduling, there's so many great things available, sometimes it's hard to be consistent. And Instagram, I find, is challenging for me, for You Are a Gardener, and feeding that. So I do like to diversify my marketing efforts with the blog, with the newsletter, with YouTube. Just, I don't want to put all my eggs in that Instagram basket. So, yeah.
You just have to be on it a lot.
I always say, get off your phones, get off the screens. I don't want to be doing the same thing. So it's a blessing and a curse, because it's so powerful and wonderful to connect. However, it is, it's something that, you know, I don't want my children on their phones all the time. So I can't do it if I don't want them to do it.
And I think a lot of small business owners are really struggling with the sheer amount of different platforms that they can be on, the different things that they have to put on, the fact that everything is all video now. I'm curious, just because I've been noodling with an idea about kind of behind the scenes. So we've always been told show behind the scenes, show like your life, like show all of that. And my experience with that, with all of the people that I've worked with, is it doesn't do a lot. So I know that's contrary to what most people are saying. So I'm curious, for you, do you do a lot of behind the scenes? Do you put your kids on there, or is it all about the brand all the time?
That is such an awesome question, because I ask this question to myself all the time from a branding perspective. And 5 years ago, maybe a little pre-COVID, a little 2020, it was a lot of my face, a lot of my kids' faces. And then they started to grow up, and I was still in that children's book, very, you know, K through kindergarten through third grade. And I kind of pulled back a little bit. And for my brand, I don't necessarily want it to be attached to my face, because what I'm trying to say is, this is for all of us. We're all gardeners. This is our story. Let's do this together. So I pull back from it being a lot of me. If I do a behind the scenes, it's, you know, behind the scenes at an assembly or, you know, shipping some books. I will have my kids come out sometimes and make some videos because they, again, we still make vision boards. Aiden's always cooking. It's a very strong gardening tool for him because he loves to cook. It builds his confidence. It keeps him focused. It gives us time together. So I'll make content with them when I can, but it's not all the time. However, for the other company I work for, it is all behind the scenes with boutiques and the buying and the selling and the trends. So that works really well for them, but it doesn't really apply for me.
But would you, for the other company, would you share about the owner's life and the employees' lives, like not related so much to the business, I guess is where I'm going.
Probably not. Maybe a little. No, we don't get too personal. I shy away from that. I know people like to see it, but how does it translate into marketing and connections, like genuine connections? Sometimes I think it gets too personal. Sometimes I think maybe we know too much about certain things and we want to pull back. I think some things should be very private. And we're living in a world right now where everybody knows where you stand on everything. And that doesn't make me feel comfortable sometimes because I think you exclude half your audience when people can see the way you see things. I'm a huge supporter of you feel this way, I feel this way. Let's just appreciate how we feel. We're all different. We're raised independently. We're very different, very unique with different backgrounds and experiences that lead us to feeling the way we feel. And we need to come together and be more respectful and gentle and calmer and kinder to people. So to bring it full circle, sometimes I think that really personal behind the scenes content infringes upon that and breaks that barrier down. And you can potentially show some things about yourself that people don't necessarily need to see to help support your brand.
I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of people trying to be authentic, but in trying to be authentic, it's actually not authentic anymore, if that makes sense. I call it fake authenticity is kind of what I'm seeing on social media right now.
Right. And when we look at social media from a marketing perspective, we see so much more than what somebody else wouldn't or what teenagers see. They don't see through the selling of or get to the root of it all. So it is important. It's nice that you have that awareness.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's go back to your business. So what would you say is the best gardening tool for entrepreneurs that you have in your toolbox?
Let's see. We talked about Canva, so we're not going to go there. That is my favorite gardening tool for an entrepreneur. But I think it just has so many helpful materials in there. I mean, if you want to write, you've got great AI built into it. If you want to create a design and you're not very good at creating, I mean, I think it's really helpful for me. It's putting the newsletter content together. I think newsletters are still really relevant and very important from a marketing perspective. I think that it just does so much. Video, a little light video editing is very helpful.
How do you get people to sign up for your newsletter?
So I have the pop-up box on my website, which I do think those, you know, as frustrating they are as a user, sometimes they really are helpful they work. And whenever I work with schools, I'm always, you know, getting their teachers to jump on board and their families. So when I work with a school, I create a private web link for their teachers with a ton of resources and activities, very curated collection for the teachers to keep it growing in the classroom. And I'll do that for families. And it all just comes back to, you know, get on the newsletter every Friday because that's when the content comes out. So a lot of it's word of mouth. And so it does naturally grow. So I do think that. But going back to my favorite gardening tool, though, for me personally, which does help me as an entrepreneur, is gratitude. Gratitude exercises. I think some of the most powerful gardening tools because they really ground you and they force you to be mindful. So if you're caught up in the weeds and feeling overwhelmed or frustrated or defeated as an entrepreneur, know you're having those feelings, stop the process, Write down three things you're grateful for. Think of three things that you're looking forward to. Even if it's, you know, I'm thankful for a sunny day. I'm thankful that I made my bed earlier today. I'm thankful for my family. You really can dig really deep into gratitude. And the more consistent we are with the practice, the more powerful it is. And I feel that we could all use a little bit more gratitude in our gardening toolbox.
So a lot of people listening to the show might be pre-entrepreneurship. So just thinking about starting a business. I know that fear creeps into that, imposter syndrome, all those things. So what would you give to them as advice to be able to actually do what they want to do?
So when I work with children, I have a little part of the assembly or the program, and it's called Plant Your Dreams and Watch Them Grow. I am extremely passionate about the fact that I believe with my whole heart, we are all born with beautiful gifts inside of ourselves that are very unique to us. And exploring the things that we're interested in, being curious about the things that we're passionate about, keep doing that, keep growing with that. It's unique to you. Just because other people are doing it doesn't mean you're not going to do it better or differently. So that's where I would say start there. Really know you're really passionate about something. You have a connection to something. That would be my first step. And I would say lists are a very powerful tool in the beginning phases. You know, where do you see yourself now? Where do you see yourself in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months? Work with those vision boards. Just start putting them together. Don't worry about the how you're getting there. Put the real seeds in the ground. This is a goal. This is attainable. I can see myself doing this in 3 months. This might take 2 to 3 years. So goal those out. Be patient. Take action.
What are you seeing for your business in the next, you know, 5, 10 years? What's your vision?
Well, when I'm planting the dreams for You Are a Gardener, we have big dreams. I want to grow something really significant, something very powerful that makes a real genuine connection with a much wider audience. But I am being very patient with that process. But I would love at some point to get a space, to have a team, to have a destination where families and teachers and kids can come together. We can explore gardening tools. We can have workshops, create some really powerful, positive content. And maybe 10 years from now, we have a few of those centers. So I really want to get those seeds out there. I think this is where we're growing right now. I think it's what the world needs is calmer, confident, creative people who are out there spreading seeds of positive change.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, so what would you say is the hardest thing that you've had to do, either personal or business-wise, since you started this business?
Well, patience is definitely hard. I know it's a foundation of everything, but that can be frustrating. Being patient with the finances and having things come together. I've been very blessed that when I need some seed money, I'll get an assembly booked. Things have just been wonderfully filling in at the right time. So as much as I say patience is everything, sometimes it is hard to be patient, but I don't want to look too far down the road and really keeping my goals and progress in a really positive mindset, not putting too much pressure on myself, because you can start to do that. And is this not happening at the right time? Am I getting it out there fast enough? I'm sure you heard me say, I really want to help. I really do. It's at the root of all of this is getting out there and helping people. So sometimes I feel that I'm not helping enough people at times. So how do I turn my volume up?
I get that. I get that. That's why I wrote my book. And I think it's good that you have your book as well, because that allows people who aren't in your vicinity to really get the message, right? So is there another book are we going to have a series, or is this a one-off?
I have a lot of other children's books written in the notes in my phone that are unrelated to You Are a Gardener, but I'm so passionate about You Are a Gardener right now. I'm putting all my creative energy into growing that. Eventually, when we have that magnificent you are Gardner's headquarters in space and there's a team there to help, I would love to be able to put out some more children's books. I am actively working on a adult version of You Are Gardner. So when I say adult, it's really teenagers, anybody. I'm not going to make it too advanced, but something that just kind of takes the Gardner rules and puts them into a book where, you know, people a little, you know, outside kindergarten through eighth grade might want to pick it up and get inspired.
Nice. I think that's all I have for questions for you. Do you have any other thoughts or anything you would like to share?
Really enjoyed that this was about You Are Gardner, but how we were talking a lot about marketing and advertising. It was really fun to talk about that with a like-minded marketer and everything you're doing with your books. I think it's incredible. So I would love to keep our relationship growing. I'm an open door. As well, I'm an open door for your audience too. I really believe that community and collaboration really helps us spread seeds.
Absolutely. So how can people get your book, reach out to you, find out about your programming?
So everything is on my website, which is www.youareagardener.com, but it's youareagardener.com. That's where you can find the Pull Your Weeds blog. You can get a copy of the book, information about our assemblies, reviews on our programs. It's all in there.
Fabulous. And I don't want to plug any specific programs, but are you using Talkadot?
No.
You need to check out Talkadot. You will love it. So Talkadot, for those of you guys who do workshops and speaking gigs and stuff like that, it's a platform that allows you to get feedback from your speaking gigs. And then you can give them, I know you have a link with all the bonuses, you can give them the bonuses for their email in exchange for their email. There's questions about referrals. They only work with speakers. So it's very tailored to speakers. Anyways, I found it very helpful for my speaking business. And like just filling the funnel of referrals, like from people that maybe you wouldn't have referred to. They liked you, but they didn't even think about it. So it's a nice, I'll put it in the show notes for those of you guys who are doing workshops. It's a really cool tool.
We'll definitely explore that. Thank you. And like you said, referrals and testimonials, they're so powerful. So yeah, I mean, that's really how we grow. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay, Shanna. Well, thank you so much. And this has been another episode of Daring Dreams.
Thank you.